welcome everybody to the Mysterion Truth Bible Study. This is June 4th, 2019 already. Man, time is flying. June, this is the beginning of summer up here. We're now starting to get some beautiful weather. I can tell it's summer because the orange barrels are in full blossom everywhere we go. If you like to eat, pray for the farmers up here in the central part of the country. They are being given a double whammy here with, number one, persistent rain about every week. I think about 20% of the crop is in right now, which is way, way behind. It should be 100%. And the tariffs are killing them. So pray for our farmers up here. And I think our studies are having an effect. I know that I heard Ronnie say Sunday he was using the word assembly instead of church in his messages. So that's good. And Barney was presenting some scriptures with the topic of clothing. And, of course, you know, I think it was Kate and Kelly got the urge to go shopping when you mentioned clothing. So, okay. So, so these messages are getting across. So, let's start off with a word of prayer. Father, we just praise you and thank you for the truth you've given us. We like to pray for those who have laid the foundation for our studies in the truth that we've come to know. We like to thank you for the reference materials, the electronic media that we can use, and the people who have laid the foundation like Charles Welch and Oscar Baker and the Apostle Paul, of course. We just thank you for this truth you've given us concerning the dispensation of the mystery, and help us to understand it and help us to teach it to others, to follow in Paul's steps to make all men see the dispensation of the mystery. And be with me tonight in these words, these few words that I have to speak concerning your truth. May you bless them and use them in any way that you can. In Christ's name, our head and Savior, we do pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to just entitle this talk, Rightly Dividing the Ecclesias. Ecclesias, that's the Greek pronunciation. I always mess that word up. And the last two studies I've done have been on the etymology of the word church, and have concluded that the use of the word church as an English translation of the Greek form ekklesia by most of the English versions of the New Testament and reference materials such as Strong's Exhaustive Concordance is incorrect and deceptive and confusing because it completely changes the divine meaning of the original use of ekklesia. Now, this is my understanding of belief, and I admit I do not know Greek or Hebrew, but the Holy Spirit was still able to guide me through it. And as always, you should search the scriptures to see if these things be so for you. I've done some further looking at the word church and its background, going back to Kirke, the witch goddess of the Odyssey by Homer. And the word church is derived from that word. And it comes from Greek mythology. So how can it be used as a word to represent the call of God? The epic poems of Homer are the foundation of what they call Western literature and the arts, called Western canon, which is nothing but worldly stuff. So the one thing I am certain about is that the body of Christ is not a church. Another thing I'm convinced of is that traditional use of the word church in Christianity agrees with its true etymology. It has become to mean a religion, a congregation, and a place of worship in the flesh. At least some of the TFT speakers now hesitate before they say the word church in their message. And some are beginning to insert or substitute the word assembly wherever church appears in the text. By the way, the Greek pronunciation is ekklesia. The Latin pronunciation is ecclesia with the double C instead of the double K. Some English versions translate ecclesia as congregation or assembly. But even if ecclesia is uniformly translated, called out or outcalled or called forth, one would still have to see the doctrinal paradigm shift at the end of the Acts period and the distinct and separate ministries of the apostles Peter and the apostle Paul, and also the two separate and distinct ministries of the apostle Paul in order to rightly divide the meaning of ecclesia. So I firmly believe that this is the main reason that traditional Christianity falsely assumes that the entire New Testament pertains to them as the church, and that the church and the kingdom of heaven are inseparable. They simply have not been taught to rightly divide the word of truth. The incorrect translation of the Greek form ekklesia is not the reason for the failure of believers to rightly divide the word of truth, as commanded in 2 Timothy 2:15. The doctrinal misunderstanding of the two separate and distinct ministries of the Apostle Paul originated in the traditional teaching that the ekklesia was started by Peter and only continued by Paul. Since we are the ekklesia, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, let us follow this trail of the Greek form ekklesia as it is used in the New Testament and beyond. Now, Charles Welch taught me three methods to study a subject. Number one is the concordance method. Number two is the family of words. And number three is structure. So let me repeat that if you're taking any notes. Charles Welch says there's three methods used to study a subject. First, study the concordance, use of the word. Second, the family of words it belongs to, and the structure that it is involved in. So we have already completed a two-part study using the concordance method, in which we also considered historical events and religious influences as was necessary to determine how and when the word church was first used in the English translations. We talked about the Anglo-Saxon Wessex Gospels around 1000 AD, where that word was introduced into the scriptures by the Roman Catholic Anglo-Saxons. So, considering the family of words, in order to rightly divide the 115 uses for ecclesia in the King James Version of the New Testament, we should also consider the family of words that parallel ecclesia, such as called, chosen, bidden, and elect. So 15, ecclesia is 1577 in the Greek Strong's Concordance. 1588 is ekletos, means favorite or chosen or elect. 1589 is eklogē, means chosen or election. 4899 is sune klektos, chosen in company with or elected together with. 2564 is kaleo, means to bid or bidden. And 2753, kaleo, means hail, order, bid, or command. 1586, eklegomiai, means to select, to make, choice, choose out, or chosen. 3004 is lego, which we build with blocks. No, that's the word to ask, bid, call, describe, give out, name, put forth, sat, show, speak, tell, utter, where that word can really be stretched for a lot of meanings. So when I was down at the conference, I went to the Truth for the Day building, and I bought these two booklets called The Complete Word Study of the Old Testament and one, The New Testament, by AMG International, 1992 edition. And besides the two Greek forms in the New Testament that are incorrectly translated church, churches, for ecclesia, get this. There are eight Greek forms in the New Testament that are translated assembled, assembling, or assembly. There are nine Hebrew words in the Old Testament that are translated assembly or assemblies. There are 10 Hebrew words in the Old Testament that are translated assemble, assembled, or assembling. There is one Greek word and six Hebrew words that are translated congregation. There are 31 Greek forms in the New Testament that are translated call, called, calleth, or calling. There are 13 Hebrew words in the Old Testament that are translated call, called, callest, calleth, calling. There are seven Greek words, Greek forms in the New Testament that are translated bid, bidden, biddeth, or bade. Six Hebrew words in the Old Testament that are translated bid, bidden, biddest, bidding, or bade. There are three Greek forms in the New Testament that are translated elect, elected, or election. There is one Hebrew word in the Old Testament that is translated elect. There are 10 Greek forms in the New Testament that are translated choice, chose, chose, choosing, chose, or chosen. There are 10 Hebrew words in the Old Testament that are translated choice, choices, chosen, choice, choices, chosen, chosen. So, who in their rightly divided mind would want to undertake a study of all those words that are families of ecclesia? Nobody's raising their hand. Okay. Or how about the word predestinated? Pro orizo. 4309, to limit in advance, predetermine, ordain, determine before. That has something to do with choosing and electing and calling out and bidding. How about foreknow? 4267, progenosco, to ordain or know beforehand. Or how about the word fullness? We are the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Pleroma, 4138. That means filled to overflowing, but in the fullness of times, it also means to be ordained and appointed beforehand. And here's another interesting point. In the New Testament, many of these words appear on both sides of Acts 28:28. So you can see the scriptures, there is a lot of things going on there. Sometimes a way to understand a word or a concept is by its contrast to the opposite. That is, you contrast good and evil. To know good, you'd have to know evil. To know light, you'd have to know darkness, etc. So what's an example of the opposite of called out or called forth? Well, in order to get a grasp on the understanding of the word ecclesia, as it is used in scriptures, let us go back to the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3. Tony, if you could bring up, or who's ever posting, bring up Genesis 3:22-24. And the Lord said, behold, Genesis 3:22, and the Lord said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the end of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. I notice in the King James it says cherubims. There's no such word. Cherubim is the plural of cherub, as Charles Welch would point out. So here we have the words in 23, sent him forth from the garden and drove out the man. So here we have the opposite of a calling forth or a calling out, the motion of calling to. Here Adam, who is the federal head of all mankind, is sent forth from, drove out, expelled, or divorced from the presence of God and the paradise of eternal life. Thereafter, begins the progression of calling out or calling back by the joint work of the triune Godhead, men to eternal life under the federal head of Christ, who into one of at least three glorious callings or places. Men are called out of the innate divorced position in Adam to a reconciled position in Christ, Jesus, either by faith in God in the Old Testament or by faith of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, in the New Testament. The body is of Christ is further called out by faith in Christ as head of the body, the dispensation of the mystery. This is presented as a 7,000-year progression and is the theme of the Word of God. This calling out began with Abel. If you turn to Hebrews 11:4, Hebrews 11:4. You've read this many, many times. You all know it. But here's a whole list of people who by faith were called out by God for his purposes. And by faith, who is the first one? Abel. So beginning with Abel and then going through the list, and he talks about Enoch, and he talks about Noah, and he talks about Abraham, and so on and so forth. And this culminates with the calling out of the body of Christ. Colossians 1:24-26. Colossians 1:24-126. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind for the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the ecclesia, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. So this calling out manifests itself in at least three distinct mysteries: the mystery of faith, the mystery of Christ, and the mystery of the body of Christ. These comprise the manifold wisdom of God that is completed by the mystery of the ecclesia of Ephesians 3:10. This is a necessity of 2 Timothy 2:15 to rightly divide the word of truth. So two of these callings out originated since the world began, or since the foundation of the world, and two will be restored to eternal life. These two will be restored to the eternal life on a new earth with a river of life and a tree of life. The final one was originated before the foundation of the world, or correctly, before the overthrow of the world. And this was even before there was a Garden of Eden and before there was an Adam. This one shall be manifest with Christ in glory at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places, far above all, before there is a new earth. So, going to the next method of study is the Appendix 198 in the Companion Bible. The structure and if you can turn to that, if not, that's okay. But in that structure, the first letter F, the chosen nation, called and blessed. This is, of course, starting with Abraham on to Israel and through Moses and all the blessings all the way to the end of the Old Testament. And then the letter H, the kingdom proclaimed, reproclaimed, the church of God called and taken out. This is the kingdom calling of Israel. And then we have the next item H, the kingdom postponed and in abeyance, and the church, which is his body, is called and taken up. Then in the F on the bottom section, the balancing F, the chosen nation recalled and blessed. So this would be the ecclesia in Revelation, the seven ecclesias in the first couple chapters of Revelation. We'll forgive you, Tony, if it's not letting you post that. So we have those three methods of looking at the separate callings. We have the concordance method of the word called out. We have the family of words, which we didn't go into in detail. That would be another several part study going through all those family of words of all the calling and bidding and choosing and electing and all the stuff that goes on through the scriptures. That is quite an undertaking, which we may do if the Lord permits. We're not going to go very long tonight because it's been busy since the conference, and I've been swamped, and I'm still out at work. And I'm going to finish up here with some questions, I think, that we can pose to ourselves. Let me scroll down to these. Some observations. Ecclesia is found 115 times in the King James New Testament. Ecclesia is found two times in the Gospels, only two times in Matthew. And this is, of course, where the Catholic Church plants its flag, Matthew 16, 18. And ecclesia is found 73 times in the Acts epistles. Ecclesia is found 19 times in Revelation. So where the question is, what were they being called out from? These kingdom churches, I guess you would call them, with the kingdom hope, from the Gospel, the Acts period, and the Revelation, what were they being called out from? I think possibly they were being called out from the congregation of Israel under the law into grace. Jesus said they were being called out from the world. And I don't have that verse at hand, but he said that I've called you out of the world. And ecclesia is found 21 times in the post-Acts epistles. So what were they being called out from? So if you go to Ephesians 1:1, there's always this discussion about to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Are these the same people? Are they two different groups? Okay, am I back on? Can you hear me now? Okay. Sorry about that. Where was I? Ecclesia is found 21 times in the post-Acts epistles. So what are we being called out from? Since Ephesians 1:1 says to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, is that two different groups of people or is that the same people? If it's the two groups of people, then the faithful that are faithful in the dispensation of the mystery are being called out from the saints. And also in Colossians 1:2, it says to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. So the question is, are there two ecclesias in that same verse? Are the saints the ones that were called out during the Acts period And the faithful are the ones that were called out in the post-Acts period. Just a question. We're studying out. So, where were you called out? What called you out? Where were you called out from? Have you ever thought about that? I know I was born and raised Roman Catholic, and when I was about age 30, I was got into the Bible, which Catholics rarely do, and I had read some history of the Catholic Church, and when I read Revelation 18:4, that verse called me out of the Catholic Church. And it goes something like this, and I heard another voice saying, come out of her and do not share in her iniquities, and so forth. Talking about the woman on the beast, Babylon. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that her that ye receive not of her plagues. That was the verse that called me out from the Catholic Church. Now, like Tony says, then I got into traditional Christianity, and I think I'm correct. Oscar Baker kind of referred to it as a false kingdom message. It's a false kingdom, counterfeit kingdom. And I was in the counterfeit kingdom churches, and I was somehow called out from there. And I can't remember a verse. The Holy Spirit says there's got to be more than this, and I just left. I just quit going to church. And I got into a independent Bible study with a group that sort of stumbled into the dispensation of the mystery, which was way up in Michigan, so that had to be the Lord's doing. So think about that. What were we called out from? What were the other ecclesias called out from? And even in Revelation, those are ecclesias. Are they just continuations of the Acts churches? Are they part of the Israel reborn out of the earth and called out from the congregation of Israel under the law? Good, just questions. Another question I have is, can the body of Christ be called a congregation? The word congregation is used by Tyndale in his translation of the New Testament for every occasion of ecclesia except three. So the congregation is a word translated from the Old Testament, and it means grego means a herd, kind of herd together. If they were sheep, maybe it could be a flock, but congregation means to kind of herd together, and I don't think the body of Christ is herded together anywhere. We're kind of scattered all around time and place and everywhere. Maybe the Acts period ecclesias can be called a congregation since they are kind of connected with Israel, but I was thinking that maybe they were called out of that congregation into Christ by grace. And can the body of Christ be called an assembly? Are we assembled? I don't think we're assembled yet. We're in the process of being assembled, maybe. But I think when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall appear with him in glory. That's when our assembly is going to take place. is in heavenly places. Just some thoughts, just some questions to ponder, worth further study. I took a look at an Old Testament book called Ecclesiastes. And there's another use of that word. And if you look at Bullinger's notes on Ecclesiastes, is kind of interesting, but the Hebrew word, the title for that book is Koheleth. Koheleth, spelled with a Q or a K. It's 6953 in the Hebrew. And it means a female assembler or a convener. And let me flip back to there if I can find Ecclesiastes 1. And it says, the words of the preacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Well, the word there is, how did the word preacher get there? Bullinger says that Koheleth is actually, since it's a female, feminine noun, it means a female assembler and has to personify wisdom. Go back to Proverbs, and wisdom was there when the world was made. And wisdom has a lot to do with our calling, the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of knowledge. So Solomon did assemble the congregation or the Israelites in 1 Kings 8, 1, 2, and 5. He assembled them all together. He called them together. And Solomon does sort of personify wisdom. But I thought it was interesting that the word Ecclesiastes is used. And it comes from the Latin, and Jerome's Vulgate actually changed that word to Ecclesiastes. So I went through several versions of the scriptures, and what I found was that there's an Orthodox Jewish Bible, and it says Divri Kohelet, Ben Dovid, Melech, in Jerusalem. So they use the word Koheleth. They don't use Ecclesiastes. But in the Greek Septuagint, it is Ecclesiastes is how they translated that. In Jerome's Latin Vulgate is Ecclesiastes. In the Douay-Rheims Catholic version is Ecclesiastes. In 1:1, it's also in the New Vulgate, Ecclesiastes. The Wycliffe Bible, it's Ecclesiastes. It's used as it says, the word is of Ecclesiastes, son of David. Miles Coverdale says these are the words of the preacher. Aha. So he's probably the first guy who, for some reason, switched that to the word preacher. The Bishop's Bible says, which is a few years later, says the words of the preacher. And the Geneva Bible, a few years later, says the words of the preacher. So it goes on and on and on. All the English versions use preacher, teacher, philosopher, questor, spokesman. And others use Koheleth. Koheleth with a K or a Q or Ecclesiastes. So somehow it got changed to preacher, which goes back to the word church or congregation again. So with that, I'm going to end. Sorry, I didn't have a better presentation prepared, but it's been hectic, and I am actually sitting in my car along the road in a parking lot out where I've been working. I haven't even made it home yet. So let's close with a word of prayer and open the mic for any comments or questions. Heavenly Father, we thank you for whatever it is you had to teach us tonight. We glorify you and all your work and all your truth, and we just praise you. It's fun studying your word and all the trying to figure out what you're trying to tell us. And we just pray for the body and pray for those who are in need. We pray for Gary. We pray for Roger. We pray for all those that I don't know about, for their health and recovery and for their surgeries. And bless everybody with all their needs. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.